Yo! Okay, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okie dokie.
Hey,
mumble,
everyone.
Mumble, mumble.
It's another... Hey, everybody. It's another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is number 137,000. This is Jeremy. Joining me this time is Kevin DeFrango. Hello, Kevin.
What's up?
Nothing much over here. I'm just reading about Johnny Damon deciding to stay with the Tigers, which I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to go to the Red Sox either, even if it means staying in Detroit. So, yeah. So there's that.
Sure.
Right, so, I don't know. It's been about a week or so since I did one of these, so I'm hoping we can get rid of the rust soon. But I figure we wrote down a bunch of stuff we were going to talk about, so I figured maybe we should actually just get right into something for a change.
Oh, boy, what kind of fun does that sound like? We can, well, Dusty and I did reserve all of our kind of garbage talk to the second half. Or to the end half. So, hey, you know, sure, whatever. Let's do it.
Yeah, that was fun editing because I couldn't tell if you were talking off air or if it was still part of the show. And then I hear the closing phrases, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so. All right, let's get right into it. Well, I'm not sure what the lead off is, so we'll go with what happened overnight. That is Serena Deeb, one of the members of the Straight Edge Society, getting released. And... kind of a weird relief, especially when you find out the reasoning. Well, I'm sorry. It's a weird relief until you find out the reasoning. And then it makes absolute sense to me. So.
Oh, see, that's what I was going to ask. I did not go back to check it for any updates if there was a real reason.
Yeah. Well, apparently, she wasn't living the gimmick. You know, there's still that push going on that they want wrestlers to... you know, live inside the gimmick, you know, unless that means, like, dressing like their gimmick, of course, but whatever. And apparently, being a member of the Straight Edge Society means you don't go out drinking in the bars after the matches or get, you know, interact with fans while drinking. I'm figuring it's drinking and not drugs, but, you know, who knows. But that's basically the reasoning. She wasn't living the gimmick of the Straight Edge Society. So... I guess I'm taking WWE's side in this. I don't really fault them then. I mean, unless there was no warning. I mean, I don't know. Unless there was
well,
no warning. You know.
Then why would they ever send a heel out to do any promotional tour stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or signings,
well,
anything like they shouldn't do it. I mean, that's fine. If you want to fire her for not living her gimmick, then you should never have a heel be out there. I seriously, like, I mean, that's fucking stupid.
Well, but can't,
like,
but
I should not be able to
heel though. I mean, it's not like Kane's going on a show. You'll have people like the Miz will go on different appearances and whatnot. I mean, you can have them. I mean, they sort of work in character here and there, but they don't do anything to make themselves seem to get themselves over as popular. They just go on as almost regular Joes, which I guess kind of goes to your point. Because honestly,
yeah.
I didn't think of it that way until you just mentioned it. So.
and just like I read that Sheamus interview that was on ESPN today. And he was talking about how much he admires Triple H. Well, shouldn't he be fired then?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he beat up Triple H. He put him out of the business, this, that, and the other thing. Yet he's still walking around with a belt. I mean,
couldn't you spend that, though, as he admires him and respects him, but he still has a certain amount of disdain for him, enough that where, you know, he feels superior after putting him out? I'm just trying to think in context. I mean, basically playing devil's advocate. If you can't tell, I don't really buy into the argument I'm presenting. So I'm doing my best, though.
Yeah, no, and I mean, if he presented it that way, I think I'd be fine with it. And then maybe it's just because, I'm sure the highfalutin standards of ESPN, I'm sure that they asked some hard-hitting journalistic questions about the wrestling itself. I am told that they have lots and lots of guidelines that they need to follow, but it amuses me that whatever.
The only guideline that ESPN follows is, hey, what can make us more money? There's no journalistic integrity on that network, except for maybe Bob Levy, or Bob Lay, spells his name, that does the Outside the Lines, which is conveniently buried at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon where nobody can see him.
Well, there's that. It's just kind of like when you take your time and work on a piece and you come up with one like every month or two, that's fine. But like when it's just like, oh, we found out this is popular, let's make it a daily show, and it's just like you don't quite have the research time that you do on a daily show that you do, in a piece that takes a month.
Yeah, well, they do pieces here and there that are like, actually, I don't want to say research, but it almost sounds like a dickish thing. Just more so of they can give it the proper amount of time, unlike what you're saying, like the instant one where there is actually no, or very rarely, any sort of research, if you want to, I'm just stumbling here. But the long term is easier to do because you can do your research if it's not a story that's pressing. But if they want to do something on, for the hell of it, Brett Favre, obviously they're not going to do any preparation, which is much like the rest of ESPN. So another failed example, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, no, that does make sense though. I mean, they just wouldn't really need to do much research for that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they just found out Ed Werder, who basically still has basically Brett Favre's cock in his mouth. So I don't know.
Yeah,
But
I
getting
mean,
back to Serena and the whole heel thing. No, I see your point. It just doesn't make sense because apparently this was something that they had already decided they were gonna do, and they still had her to go over. I mean, if you want to put it that way, go over that she was the winner of the match, but she wasn't like the weak link or anything. She didn't get voted out, which if they were planning this, why wouldn't they just have her lose on SmackDown and be like, oh boy, CM Punk just lost this girl or something like that.
Well, yeah, and there's that too. And it also kind of makes you think back on the little angle that they did when she didn't want CM Punk to reveal the secret, or CM Punk didn't want her to reveal the secret. And then it ends up being her drinking in a bar. It's just like, oh, maybe this was, and I guess that is the other thing too, that even though I kind of don't agree with what they did, if they told her once already, hey, dummy, if you're gonna drink, grab a six at the convenience store and go back to your room and drink a little bit. Like, don't do it in public. Like, we're fine with you drinking. We understand that you're allowed to, but so if she's been warned before, then fuck her, you know what I mean? Just like, yeah, don't send those, if somebody told me not to do something at work and then I went ahead and did it again, it'd be like, well, we gotta fire you. Okay.
Well,
My
I mean,
fault.
you're right though. It does raise like that red. It does raise a flag up to say, well, you know what? Maybe they were trying to tell her something, or maybe that whole thing was a test, and she just clearly didn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, it was clearly a taped. That was clearly a taped. A WWE staged event. But it really could have been her doing that. Like, they're like, no, seriously, we need you to stop doing this.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I don't know, it's just, if they had an inclination they were going to do this, then they shouldn't have booked that angle. And if they were going to do it, then that would be the way to get rid of her.
Yeah,
I don't know,
exactly.
that whole angle was just weird to me because they just did the same thing on Monday. Like, that previous Monday with Nexus doing the same thing and kicking Darren Young out.
Yeah, but at least that did make sense. I mean, if CM Punk would have completely ignored it, it would have been weird to me, but at least he said, hey, I liked what Nexus did on Monday. This is the way we're going to do it. It's just like, okay, you know, at least, you know, he's not being stupid and not acknowledging a TV show that you should be watching as a wrestler in the WWE. Instead of, I didn't see that you accidentally hit me with a chair last week. I'm going to come out here and argue with you this week. At least CM Punk acknowledged that and said, hey, I like their style. Let's roll with it.
Well, it is a nice bit of continuity for a change. I don't know if it's continuity or not, but, you know, a nice acknowledgement for something that doesn't usually happen. It's really about as far as we can go because there wasn't a lot of character development there.
It's a bummer because I will not get to look at her luscious hoo-has anymore. But you know, what you gonna do?
Yeah,
nothing to deal with it.
Yeah, those were just wow, ridiculous. I don't know. Not having breath. I don't understand how those were comfortable. You know, just to carry around all the time. But
yeah. Yeah, I can only hope that they decide to bring her into Pro Wrestling Ohio for a couple of dates against Portia Perez or something.
That'd be nice. All right, let's go to the other sort of big news. It kind of got brushed under really fast. Skip Sheffield of Nexus broke his ankle in, I believe it was Hawaii. You know, if I actually wrote my notes down or carried him in the room with me.
I do believe that's the location.
Yeah, so he's going to be out a while. To me, that's a pretty big story that really isn't getting much mention. I mean, we talked about this, and to me, the entire Nexus faction has a top tier and a bottom tier. And the top tier was Wade Barrett, Justin Gabriel, and Skip Sheffield. Then you have, you know, David Tongue, all the other ones. So to me, this is a really big blow because Sheffield somehow went from the dud on NXT to really, you know, one of the main guys. I mean, they built him up. He's the guy that took out Mark Henry, you know, a legit clean in a tag team match, and then, you know, helped take him out again. So they were clearly building him up for bigger things. So, it's just the timing's unfortunate that he's gone right as they were still, I mean, right in the middle of a pretty big push for him.
It's a real bummer because, you're right. He really did change things around on everybody, I think, for the most part, because he just turned in, I think it was, he dropped the yup, yup, yup for the most part. I think he might have said it once or twice in one of their earlier promos. But when he just turned into the jacked-up meathead, it was perfect, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, they shouldn't have really played him any other way from the get-go. He might have stuck around, of course, their asinine firing policy or elimination policy notwithstanding. He might have stuck around for a couple more shows, at least.
Yeah.
But anywho... the thing that was funny to me is that I'm not sure, and I'm not really skipping ahead too far, I'm not sure they really mentioned anything on Raw, and I thought to myself, after we hashed out the topics for tonight, I'm like, huh, I didn't even think to pay attention to the guys on stage to see if he was even there. Like, I mean, because if it's just an ankle, they really, I don't know how bad it is, but I mean, even if he has a soft cast or something, they have him walk out there, then just to kind of play it as a decoy for the time being. I mean, Nexus as a whole really didn't do much this week.
Well, remember, this week Raw was taped last Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
Remember? Because they went to China, so it was taped last Tuesday. And, yeah, he was on the stage with them.
Oh, okay.
The same thing. Yeah. But I agree, I obviously forgot that. They could even turn it into an angle just to show how much of a badass he is. To say, hey, he broke his ankle over in China, and look, he's still out there, you know, cast and all. But it's not like an ankle, something to sneeze at, because you don't want to put too much pressure on it and have it set wrong or re-break or just not heal and just delay it even further.
So there is not much you can do about that one aside from rest.
Right.
Well, he can probably sit there and do more bench presses and arm curls so that he looks more like Scott Steiner by the time he comes back.
Jesus. I've never even considered that. I'm trying to think. Yeah, if he had more hair, well, hair period, yeah, that'd be, oh boy. But you're right. Once they got away from the stupid hit gimmick and just went to, you know, like little psycho road warrior-ish sort of person, and road warrior as in Mad Max, not the dead guy, it just fit his character, and it seems like the muscle now is gone from Nexus. He to me, stood out as the muscle of the group. He was the one that they always used to take care of stuff, and then Justin Gabriel was like little executioner style, where he came in and just finished them off, you know.
Yeah, it does kind of leave a void. Like, I Tarver can fill it somewhat, but he's just not the same size, and I think it's been more than clear what they think of the quality of Otunga's ring work is, considering he's barely in any of their matches, including that tag match that you referenced earlier. Like, I think he got tagged in, beat somebody up for a little bit, and then tagged Sheffield back in. And it's like, oh my lord.
Yeah, and who's the other one? You know, Tarver looks mean with the little face mask on, but they clearly don't think highly of him either. He's a funny guy with the mask, so.
Yeah, they give him a lot of mic time, and it always bugs me. Like, he's not to the degree of Bill Goldberg, but his legs are definitely smaller in comparison to his chest and upper body.
Yeah.
It's just like, that look to me always just drives me a little bit insane. Like, you've at least got to have some big quads or something like that to kind of not make some tiny calves look bad.
Yeah, it's really, it's like at this point, because I know he's not a young guy, so at this point there's not much to do to correct the physique at all. So,
Well, aside from him doing more leg work in the gym, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's really going to happen. Yeah, but it's not going to even out anytime soon. And by the time it does, he's probably gone. So, I'm just trying to think of what they can do now, or where they can go with it. It's not crushing. Don't get me wrong, but it just seems like it's a decent blow to him. But maybe I have a man crush. I don't know. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they really can do much about it. I mean, they're just going to have to admit that he's out for, you know, another month or so. I don't know. You know, I mean, at least another month, I'd think, for it to heal up and for him to get, you know, back on track a little bit, you know, give him a little bit of time to, get the legs going again.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they don't even acknowledge it. And just bear with me on this one, because this is off the top of my head. Just don't even acknowledge he's not out there anymore. And just go, this is Nexus, blah, blah, blah. And they go on, the announcers don't mention anything, nothing. Just act as if he was never part of the group. Just to see, you know, if no one notices, you know, something like that. and then all of a sudden have him come back, and they just act like he was never gone. And I don't know, it's just for fun, I guess, just to see how many people would notice or say something about it. I don't know, it's kind of a dumb experiment, but hey.
Yeah.
Or just, yeah, or bring back Darren Young, like he never left, just so the group still has six.
Yeah, well, with Barrett being in the main event and them already having, you know, him having a week or so head start on letting that puppy heal, they could honestly not let any of the other guys wrestling, just have him backstage or whatever. Like, they really could work around it if they felt like it. You know, without him looking bad, you know, it, depending upon how long they think it's going to be. But I don't know. I mean, I know I fractured my wrist, and it's probably not quite the same. But it took about a month to heal and about another couple of weeks to kind of get back up to par. So I'd imagine it's a similar time frame, depending upon how bad he fucked up his ankle.
Yeah, true.
So, I don't know, 6 weeks, then how many... How many weeks is it until Night of Champions? Another 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I don't know. There's a month right there if they can somehow keep him out of the loop until Night of Champions. Or, you know, keep him in backstage stuff until then. But, I don't know. That's all pure speculation.
Yeah, wait a minute. You're brushing over something very good. Keep him backstage. That actually would work perfectly. You could just have him be the muscle, cut it from, you know, just film it waist up so you don't even have to do anything.
Yeah.
That works just as well.
Yep.
So
we shall see what they do.
Yeah. But, all right. So this is actually something we didn't discuss, but I saw it before we went on air, and this just kind of cracked me up. This is on off of ProWrestling.net, and there were a lot of wrestlers that weren't at Monday's TNA taping. Rob Terry, Hernandez, Lacey Von Erich, Sarita, and the TNA Knockout Tag Team Champion, Taylor Wilde and Hamada. You know, no word why they weren't there, and apparently they're not there at Tuesday's taping, okay? Maybe one doesn't have to do with the other. But there's also another poster right next to it. Oh, wait a minute. There's actually three posts that really all go together. And the last one will tie it in. So hang on a sec. And then, God damn it. Well, then also on Monday, one of the EV2 guys no-showed, apparently. That would be Sandman. He no-showed. and then today... But even this is what really made me laugh with all these people not showing up. The latest round of drug screenings is taking place today at the TNA Impact tapings in Orlando. Wrestlers were subjected to physicals, blood work, and drug screening. And then Jason Powell added his little point of view, the random approach to testing. So not every wrestler is subject to screening. The company has a testing policy in place but has not publicly divulged the specifics of the policy. So in review, Sandman didn't show up. Hernandez, Sarita, and then a bunch of Rob Terry and Hernandez weren't flown in or weren't at the tapings either. So I can't imagine why they wouldn't want those guys to be there.
Yeah, well, I would hope Sarita would be fairly clean, but Rob Terry and Hernandez, I don't think that even goes in the Arsenio Hall category of things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, I like Jason's. You know, they have a testing policy, but they haven't publicly divulged what it is. Here's what it is. Hey, is your name Jeff Hardy, Rob Terry, Hernandez, Kurt Angle? Who else can we throw in here? I'm trying to think of some other guys. there are other guys, obviously. Sandman, don't show up. We're doing the drug testing for this. Just don't show up, okay? That's our drug testing policy. It just doesn't expose it for a sham. And especially when it's random. So, like, hey, Jay Lethal, yeah, I need you. Shark Boy, you're still here, so you come over here. You're considered a wrestler today. Allegedly. So, just stupid. I don't know. I just found it funny that the guys who were invited and weren't invited, or were there and didn't show. So.
Yeah, that's kind of amusing. But I had no idea. The women's tag team titles. I can't believe they still exist, honestly.
Yeah. I don't understand why they have women's tag titles. And really, I don't understand why they have a women's title anymore.
No. The women's division there is worse than in the WWE at this point.
Yeah. Well, if for those who didn't see it, Kevin's been doing live blogs for Main Raw. And when you were talking about they finally did something right this week and put together the beautiful people again. But if you watch the reaction, Angelina Love said they weren't sure if they were together or not. And it's like, oh, fuck's sake.
Oh, no, I did not watch reaction. I was like, I put up with 2 hours of this horse shit. I am not about to put up with another hour.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. This was not on the list, but we'll just talk about it anyway. I like the concept of reaction. I like the fact that it's supposedly a behind-the-scenes thing without exposing the business, like Russo loves to do all the time. You know, it doesn't show them like, yeah, you know, you missed that bump, and, you know, but if we would have bladed, you know, something like that. Everyone stays in character for the most part. The way they started the show, the very first one, they tried to play it off as if it was happening right after Impact. So the show would have that feel of not anything goes, but it's on the fly, if you will. You know, they're putting everything together, getting people's reactions after everything. But then they mixed in all this pre-tape stuff and my example here is Rob Van Dam gets beaten down and goes to the hospital. Well, then they say at the top of the show, you know, after the violent attack of Rob Van Dam, we'll have an update on his condition. We've spoken with the hospital, and it's like, well, wait a minute, he just got in a goddamn ambulance. How did you speak to the hospital already? So they have to make up their mind. Do they want to keep pressing upon us that Impact is a live show? They don't come out and say it's live, but they make the impression that it is. They want to convince you that Impact is indeed live, even though it's taped on Mondays. But then they follow it with a show that clearly tells you that it's taped. And maybe this is not, maybe the casual fan, the real fan, I guess if you want to put it that way, won't pick up on this stuff. But it just seemed kind of obvious to me. So, I think in that regard, they can change it up.
It was obvious that it was taped because they had said that Van Dam was already at the hospital?
Yeah.
Well, how long do you think it takes someone to get to a hospital?
Well, I don't know, but it didn't take 1 minute.
Was it the first thing that they said?
Yeah.
I watched the first week. I guess I was thinking that they waited until they're about 10 or 15 minutes into the show before they mentioned that stuff about Van Dam.
No. Impact ended with the big beatdown, okay?
Right.
Then reaction started with the grainy Hervey cam, which everyone's saying, talk to the hospital, see what's going on. Immediately, that voiceover guy came on saying, with a vicious, paraphrasing, like the vicious attack on Rob Van Dam, we have an update from the hospital on his condition. We'll share it with you later. The ambulance had just left. I mean, literally just got out of shot when the voiceover started. And maybe I'm being nitpicky, but it was just something like that. I'm like, that's really weird. But then later on in the show, they had it where, like, Beer Money was talking about losing the belt or not, you know, not beating or winning the best of five series and how Rick's the boss. And then they had Angelina Love talk about winning the title. That was the stuff that honestly should be on Impact. But if they're not going to put it on Impact, a show like Reaction is a good way to go. And because I remember just blowing you up at work and why the hell does Reaction exist if it's just another TNA show right after TNA, right after Impact? Well, it's a totally different feel. And, you know, with the proper tweaks, I think it could be, I mean, pretty much the perfect companion piece to Impact, because it will fill in the blanks finally that we've been screaming about for years. Not that they have a separate show to do that, mind you, but, you know.
Well, and
it's,
I think it helped, too. Well, and I think it helped, too, that I don't think it's just necessarily that it's TNA. I'm not sure I'd, on a regular basis, want to watch 3 hours of WWE programming either.
Nope, you're exactly right.
You know, and it's just like, I just, because that first, because it's only been on for 2 weeks. Like, I got about halfway through it, and I'm just like, I'm just tapping out. Like, I'm done. You know, I don't want to watch this anymore. Like, I just don't care. You know, just please stop.
No, that's fair. But it's all right. I guess I'll present this to you then. If Impact was a good show, would you mind sticking around for that other hour to get more of that show?
More times than not, like, it doesn't matter what I'm watching, honestly. Like, even when I'm watching stuff on the DVR, like, maybe it's just me, but I can't watch, like, a certain type of TV show, a certain number of times in a row. Like, if I watch 2 half-hour comedies or something, I'll try to switch to something else, like either a more serious show or, you know, something else, maybe sports or something, just to kind of break it up a little bit, because and I do that with a lot of stuff. Like, I just seem to get tired of stuff quickly, you know. Well, not like terribly quickly, but at least enough that just 3 hours is too much. Like I said, like, even if it was WWE, like, I'd be like, okay, I'm out. I'm not quite sure how I did those 4 reviews of Pro Wrestling Ohio that one day. Like, that was 4 straight hours of wrestling. Of course, I realized that I was, like, about ready to kill somebody by the end of the 4th hour, so that's why I stopped. But
all right, so the quality of Impact has nothing to do with it. Just trying to think of, I don't know. To me, I'm the exact opposite. I can sit there and watch the same thing. Hell, I watched, 6 episodes of Justified in a row or something like that one weekend. But, I mean, I guess that's different because that almost plays like a movie, if you think of it that way. But
yeah,
Impact was a watchable show. It's still not watchable. Then I think Reaction would work perfectly. But as it stands, Reaction is going to be the better show than Impact is. And that's not what they need to be going for. Because it doesn't run like, what was the show Eric used to review? Oh, my God. WWE Saturday Morning or some shit like that, whatever.
Right.
So it's not like that show. It has newer content, different content. And more interesting stuff, because you get to know some of the wrestlers better than you ever will watching the regular TV show, which, of course, I know is criminal, so.
Right.
But,
Well, and this, for me at least, sticks with my change it thing, is that you would start to have a little more of an imprint on Spike TV also, if you changed it to a different night at some point.
Yeah.
Even if it's a later evening thing where, you know, you end up airing it at 11 o'clock so that you're not taking up one of their better time slots or something. so that maybe you get somebody on a Friday night that's home drinking or something, and they end up having to catch it. Whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we're talking about TNA, they released Homicide recently as well, or last week, I think it was, or over the weekend.
Yep.
I'm not too broken up about Homicide being released. He wasn't being used. They weren't putting LAX together, so what were they possibly going to use him for?
Not much, honestly. They could not, as soon as they broke him up with Hernandez, they really could not find a spot for him at all.
Yeah, I know.
They keep on trying to say that the X division is important, but then, I think Douglas Williams defended the belt, and he hasn't really mentioned it the last 2 weeks or something, pretty much.
So it's Big Bad Doug now. Remember Floyd? Do you remember Floyd's promo? He's like, we went out with Big Bad Doug. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Big Bad Josh all over again.
I even noted that. I can't believe I forgot that, because I'm just, I even said that in my blog. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? I just can't. And then somebody else I read, I don't know if it was Powell or I think it was someone on .net, said that was a great promo. I'm like, ugh. Just the fact that he said Big Bad Doug disqualifies it from being a great promo. I don't care if the rest of it was fucking gold. That was just dog shit at the beginning of the promo.
Well, I just liked how he blew Matt Morgan right after him. So, it was nice at least that Morgan went last instead of Big Bad Doug, because that would have been like blowing Matt Morgan and shooting and then spinning it right in Doug Williams' face. I mean, that was so awful. And it's Big Bad Doug, but Rick Flair is taller than he is. So I was like, okay, that doesn't really make sense. So, whatever. But we're talking about Homicide, though.
This isn't another batch TNA edition of the Spun Cranny Audio.
No, because we still got two other WWE things we need to talk about. So, but I'm not broken up about Homicide. I just don't know what future he has in the state. I mean, in the States, other than Indy, because I don't think he fits WWE at all anywhere.
No, not even a little bit. They don't like small guys to start with. And they definitely don't like small guys that have never heard of the word gym.
Yeah. And obviously, he wouldn't use the name Homicide. So, and to me, that's the biggest part of his character. You know, the attitude and the name together. Well, you can have the attitude, but if you, the name doesn't fit anymore. So, you know.
Yeah.
I know everyone's really high on Homicide. I like hearing him talk, but that was about it. I was never a huge fan, except when he was in LAX, because that was just a cool combo they stumbled on accident.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of also falls into our good buddy New Jack's territory, too, in that if the WWE picked him up, they are both, like, way too into the loose cannon territory for them to even tolerate them. It's just like, no,
just
fuck off.
And I think this is the part where we have to publicly apologize, because we fucked up our own Hall of Fame balloting by not putting New Jack in on the first ballot. I even asked Dusty, how did we miss this guy? All of us did, and he's all, like, legitimately, he's one of my all-time favorite promos. Just embarrassing. Even when he's not cutting a promo, and he's trying to shoot or be real, it's hilarious.
He is a second ballot fun wrestler, for sure. We fucked that one up something royally.
Nigga, you know I did cocaine before my matches. How the fuck you think I fell off the table? He's so awesome. Oh, god damn. Just listening to that at work just made my day, because no one knew what the hell I was watching. So, and it's just sad, because he had charisma on his toes. Just ridiculous. How charismatic that guy was.
Yeah.
If he could have got his shit straight, I mean, wow. Just wow. But anyways, Homicide got released. I don't know. He's working Evolve this weekend, which is also Brian Danielson's last show with Evolve. Last indie date, actually, since he's with WWE full-time again.
Yeah, I wonder if... that would be another one that I would not mind. I doubt he's big time enough to stay away from Pro Wrestling Ohio, but I know that the champion of PWO, Johnny Gargano, works some of those matches, and I think that'd be a pretty fun matchup. You know, at least from the limited stuff that I've seen from Homicide, even though I am in the camp that does not believe him because, well, he's just completely scrawny. And a short guy on top of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe him as a wrestler, but
His charisma makes you believe him as a wrestler. I mean, if you want to be honest about it, look at Jake Roberts. He had a shit physique, but the man convinced you how good he was. You know.
Yeah, but he was tall. What was he, 6'2", 6'4", something like that?
No, he was 6'5". He was actually 6'5".
6'5"?
Yeah,
well, then that's a difference. What was Homicide, 5'5"?
I mean, he was
clearly short. He was clearly shorter than me. Like, when we were at that bar together, he was, and I am not tall at all. And I was kind of looking down on him. I mean, I'm sorry. Being 5'5 and scrawny is different than being 6'6 and, I mean, come on, or 6'5. You've got to at least have some build on you. Like, I mean, it's just a product of being fucking 6'5.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
That, and I mean, the guys weren't quite as jacked up at that point either.
No.
The change was starting around then with Hogan, and I mean, it's not like Steamboat wasn't in good shape or anything, but, you know, there are some other, Roddy Piper is another example that he wasn't that big of a guy. Adrian Adonis, even Stan Hansen, like, you know, you knew he wasn't hitting the gym, really.
Yeah, but Stan Hansen's one of those corn-fed guys, though.
There's a difference, but, you know, I don't know. Like Jake, I don't think Jake Roberts would have been able to pull it off now. But in that time, I think that was, you know, about as late as he really could have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on Jake Roberts physique-wise. They wouldn't even give him a look. But charisma and promo-wise, there's no way they could pass him up right now. But, of course, they flipped him, so he's kind of like a fucking doofus. So... But, all right, let's get off of, I mean, I'm sorry how much I got released, but whatever. Let's go over to SmackDown from Friday. And we finally got the years-long explanation from Kane. Whatever. I mean, we both stated a long time ago that there was no one they could bring in that would make this angle, you know, sustain or have the payoff that it deserved or was expected. So they just had Kane do it again. The reason I wanted to bring it up was the little historical change that they made during Kane's promo. Kane said it was Undertaker's fault that he was unmasked. So unless they have the Undertaker acknowledge it and be like, no, bitch, that was Triple H's fault. Basically, it was Triple H had a match on Raw versus Kane for the title, but it was title versus mask. If Kane lost, he had to take his mask off. So Kane lost, and he took his mask off. Now, my thing is, the only reason I can think they did this was because all of the footage heavily involved Rob Van Dam at the time. Because remember, they were tag partners.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I can think they did this. Unless they're going to turn, you know, just saying Kane's so delusional that he blamed Undertaker for something somebody else did. Plus, they probably don't want to mention Triple H's name right now, since he's, you know, on the shelf making kids' movies or whatever. Even though they've done a steady job bringing it up. I don't know. That was really the only thing that really stood out to me.
Yeah, the promo was long, but I thought it was better. Like, everybody blew Kane for that first promo that he cut, talking about Undertaker being an invalid or whatever the hell it was.
Vegetative state.
Yeah, in a vegetative state. And, like, I sat there and I watched him, like, I don't quite get what everybody... I was like, am I missing something here? Like, I just saw so many people enjoy it. I was like, I'm missing something, right? But this one, I thought, aside from lengthwise, I thought it was a better delivery to me than that one, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, but it was way too lengthy.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have trimmed, I'd say, 5 minutes off of it. It went 15 minutes, didn't it? I mean, it was not a short promo at all. So that was weird. I don't know. That was really all about that. I mean, so now we get another Kane versus Undertaker feud no one asked for. And it just really shows the lack of depth on SmackDown. And which was my segue into Alberto Del Rio's debut. this guy's going to take some convincing for me. I mean, we talked about it, and he looks like the guy that should be serving me my chips and salsa. And that's not even a racist thing. He just has that plain look about him. And then he beats Mysterio clean, and I'm like, this guy? Like, okay, I don't get this at all. So if you liked it or liked him, you got to sell me on this one, because I'm just not convinced at all.
Yeah, I just thought that, well, A, they introduced them really well. Like, I thought the vignettes, to me, got blown out of the water the second he came out and started yapping at Rey Mysterio, especially when he came up with the, you're the worm in the bottle of my bottle of tequila. I'm like, oh, that is outstanding. But he did kind of have a bit of a plain look in the ring. But I don't know. He seemed to have the charisma to me, and I thought the match was hard to judge. And I guess we should get to that later. I don't know. I thought he was good looking. Like, it's gay as that sounds, like, I thought he was a good-looking guy, like, but I guess that there isn't really something, you know, about him that really sets him apart. The guy's in good shape, but he doesn't seem to be overly large. Like, you know, like, to Ziggler, I mean, I know that I blow him a lot because he went to Kent and all, but, like, he is so jacked and so ripped, it's just like, dude. Like, it kind of pops to you. But with Del Rio, it just looks like he's in really good shape. Like, to me, there's a difference between the two. But I don't know. I guess I want to give it more time, too, to see what he does. Like, those segments really aren't going to do much for him in the long run. It kind of helped establish him, but... honestly, like, he said he came from royalty, but I never paid attention that he said that he was from Isabel and Ferdinand, the kings and queen of Spain, from way back in the day, before modern day Mexico, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not writing him off. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. I was just kind of, I guess maybe I was surprised he went over on Mysterio clean.
Oh.
And I just expected something different. I was not familiar with him when he wrestled Under the Mask. I don't remember what his name was. He just, to me, seems like the typical lucha wrestler. Barrel-chested, arms, and that's it. And, I mean, in the ring, he didn't really do anything. And I'm not going to step on what you want to say, but I just, especially the end, I don't know, nothing impressed me about it. And just knowing that he's supposed to be a big deal now. He came off as like a poor man's knockoff of JBL. like a Mexican knockoff of JBL, you know, instead of being like, wow, that's a Mexican JBL, if that made any sense. So.
Yeah, no, you had brought that up, which I guess is somewhat hindering the flow of the conversation here, that we're trying to dance around the arguments that we had already made to each other. But I hadn't even thought of it in terms of him being JBL, honestly, when you brought it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they really could do that. His finisher, which is you graciously let me talk about here, to me, submissions are bad to start with. Like, you want something that has some bang to it is a finisher, especially during your first match. And then just going with a cross arm breaker, it's just like, seriously, that's all? Like, I was like, oh, okay, when's Mysterio gonna, what the fuck, he's tapping? Are you fucking kidding me? That was my immediate reaction to the whole thing. Like, I was just blown away by it. So,
least they built up that Mysterio kind of landed on his arm when he fell off the rope, you know?
Yeah.
So at least there was that, and it wasn't just he hooked the arm bar and that was it. But, yeah, that was just the weirdest thing to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had worked over the arm. But honestly, what was it? There was maybe 2 or 3 minutes of match. Del Rio got tossed outside, and then, I don't know, there was maybe another 5 minutes after they came back from commercial break. No more than 10?
No more than, it was less than 10, I believe. I mean, it wasn't a short match, so that was nice.
Yeah, but it still didn't quite seem like enough, and I don't know. Just having him beat Mysterio to me just...
It shouldn't have been Mysterio. I wouldn't mind Kofi Kingston. If they wanted to be someone established, it shouldn't have been Mysterio, because they gave it away too soon. Wasn't showing any effects of losing to Kane, none of that stuff. So they didn't build that up at all.
They brought it up during the commentary, but, they still didn't, if they're going to say that he was still beat up from Kane, they should have, had a wrap on him or something, to kind of sell it a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. Fine. I don't know. So I'm not giving up on Del Rio. It's only been 1 week, but so far I'm not impressed. I mean, so I was just confused by everyone going nuts about him, Oh, well.
Yeah,
whatever.
And it'll be interesting, too. If he was really, legitimately a gold medalist at the Pan Am Games in wrestling, he should be able to do more in the ring. But I suppose we'll see. Like, I just didn't think that there was enough of a match to say one way or the other. Yeah, and I'm holding out a little hope. I thought he was very charismatic, and I liked his little wink to Ray when he kind of bent down to his height and gave him the little wink. Like, I wanted to personally punch him in the face. Like, if somebody did that to me, I would have grabbed the back of their head and fucking kneed them right in the face.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He did have that little condescending shit going pretty well for him. Well, we'll see. I mean, SmackDown's moving. They got to build stars real fast and make sure people follow it without sending guys from Raw over. So,
I think you had mentioned it that you think that they'll move some guys back over there when they move to Sci-Fi, and
they're gonna
Yeah, that would really help if they, because right now Raw is so stacked on heels at this point. It's just like, oh my lord, get one or two of them out of there.
Yeah,
it's really not enough room for Sheamus, Edge, Jericho, and Wade Barrett if they're going to keep on positioning him that high.
Yeah, I still think some of the Nexus guys need to go to SmackDown, and Barrett would be a good choice for them.
Yeah.
Fair, go over there for sure. Fine. All right. Well, listen, we've been doing this long enough, and we'll try and get out of here under an hour for a change. So let's do this. We'll be back at you hopefully later this week. If not, we'll be back at you next week. So I'm going to get out of here. So you have fun.
Okie doke, grandkids. I am going to go grab a sippy time beer, hopefully with a friend of mine, and I am out of here. Enjoy.